Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption groweth nigh.
Well, good morning, radio friends. We do welcome you to another Redemption Time broadcast with Brother Larry Knowles. What a joy and a privilege it is for me to be here with you again. And I trust that the blessing will broadcast will be a blessing to you. And I do appreciate every one of you that tunes in. And I do pray that the broadcast is helping you and that it is a blessing to you. Well, let me give you my church announcements. We they're at the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville. We do meet at 9:45 on Sunday morning for Sunday school, 10:45 for our morning worship, 6 p.m. Sunday evening for our evening worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our Wednesday service. Now, this coming week, the next week after next, we will meet on the 26th, which is a Tuesday, instead of the 27th, because the 27th being the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And so we usually do move our meeting up on that week to the Tuesday night so that we have opportunity to allow the ladies to get prepared for Thanksgiving. And I'd like to go ahead and tell you that January 5th through the 8th, we will be having our winter revival. Brother Tom Gillum out of Athens, Georgia, be with our evangelist with us. And if you've never heard Brother Tom, if you love the Bible, you'll love Brother Tom. If you do know him, we give you an invitation to come. Those services will start each night at probably at 7. And I'll firm that up between now and then. But we do want to give you an invitation to come be in those services. I know that you'll be blessed. So now let's have a song, and then I'll come back and we will have a short prayer, and then we'll be moving back into the book of Joshua, still looking at the conquest of Jericho.
I face the fear and danger.
Harmony, and Walk Me Through. Very sweet song there, and certainly many times we have to go to the Lord. Nothing else seemed to help. Just, Lord, just help me to get through this. It won't go away. I can't get over it. I can't get around it. Just help me to go through it, and Lord, just walk me on through it. Just take care of me. How precious it is to have that resource in times of trouble, in times of doubt, in times of uncertainty, when we don't know what to do, that we do know one that knows. Well, let's go to the Lord in a short word of prayer. Father, we thank you for everyone listening this morning and for the opportunity that we have to be here. Thank you, Lord, for providing this broadcast for us as our ministry. We do appreciate each one that's listening, and I pray today, Lord, that you'll meet the need of every life, whatever it might be today. Lord, I pray for those who are sick and suffering and maybe discouraged. I pray, Lord, that you'll just be a companion to them and encourage them, touch them and help them through this day. Lord, I pray that you'll touch their bodies, touch their emotions, touch, Lord, their if they have fears and doubts and concerns, Lord, touch that and help folks to know how much you care. Lord, today we pray for our country. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to take it back. And I do pray, Lord, that you will help us to make the best of this. I pray that your people will, Lord, turn to you and once again be faithful to you as they were in the past, Lord. And I know it's your people that is going to make the decision on how this country goes. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to just be what you want us to be and to live for you and to take advantage of this opportunity we have, the freedom to get the gospel out and to do your bidding. Lord, we pray most of all today, if there's one under the sound of our voice that's not saved, that you would save them, bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and Lord, help him to help them to just come to him and open their heart and let him come in. I pray, Father, now for the broadcast and for the things that are said and done. May they please you. And, Lord, may this broadcast bring honor, praise, and glory to your name, for we ask it in your name and for your sake. Amen. Well, still continuing on in the book of Joshua, and we have seen As we have looked at this, as we've come this far, we have looked, first of all, at the introduction, and we've looked at the preparation and the perception of the wall. Yeah, the perception of the wall was what we were looking at last week. We said that to Israel, it looked like a problem. It was too big to go over. It was too wide to go through, and the gates were all sealed up, and nobody was coming in and going out. Nobody was making an opportunity for them to slip in, and so what in the world are they going to do? So then today we want to look at the plan. And for doing that, we want to look at Joshua chapter 5, if you'd like to turn over there. But we do want to remind you that back over in Joshua chapter 3, verse 2, God told him, he said, I have given you, he said, see, I have given you Jericho. Now, at that time, he was just making a recon mission. He was looking to see what they were up against. And he saw that wall, and yet God said, I have given it to you. Joshua, it's already yours. And so here is this big wall that Joshua has no way to get through. And so what is he going to do? And we find the answer to that in Joshua chapter 5 and beginning with verse number 13 and go through verse 15. And it came to pass when Joshua was at by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And so we see that actually it was chapter 6 and verse 1 that we said that Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went in and none came out. But God told him, said, I've given it to you. So what was the plan? Well, verse number 14 that I read to you, the plan was to just wait on the Lord. Because in verse 14, he saith, what saith my Lord? Joshua had no idea how that he was going to go through that wall. He knew he had no way to break it down. No way to get over it. There were already guards on the tower, I'm sure, watching every day and every night. Watching, waiting for the attack because they knew it was coming. And so the plan Joshua had was to just wait on the Lord. What does the Lord say? And you know, sometimes that is absolutely the hardest thing in the world to do, is to wait when we don't see God doing anything. Well, you know, the fact that we don't see it doesn't mean that God's not working. And the fact that we're not seeing results now doesn't mean there won't be any. Because God works in his own way. God works in his own time. God has his own way of doing things. And you and I have no way of changing that. And you and I can't do anything on our own. In reality, if we want to serve God, if we want to worship God, we have to depend upon him to give us that Holy Spirit of worship, that Spirit of the Holy Spirit that comes and dwells in our heart and leads us and guides us into the will of God and enables us to do what he is that he wants us to do. I want you to think about Joshua. He was a soldier. This was what he knew to do. This was his calling. This was God's purpose for his life. He was a warrior. And yet, I want you to notice three things about this man. Number one, he had an humble spirit. He said, my Lord. What would my Lord and have his servant to do? And so he did two things. He named the Lord as his Lord, took his place as a servant. This mighty warrior of God is there bowed before the Lord, and he's saying, "What do you say for me to do?" Worshiping him in humbleness. And then, number two, he had a holy walk. He had lived godly before the Lord Jesus Christ. God was living with him, and God was directing him and guiding him, and he was doing the things God wanted him to do. He had a holy walk, and not only that, but God said, "You're about to walk on some holy ground." And friend, let me tell you, anytime we approach to our Savior, we're on holy ground. Anytime we come before the throne of grace to make our petitions known, our thanks or our praise, our worship, or whatever we do, we are on holy ground. And so he had a holy walk. He had a humble spirit. He had a holy walk. And he had humble worship. He said, "My Lord, what would you have me to do?" And then he realized that his warfare was heavenly. James Hudson Taylor was the founder of a mission in China. And a group of missionaries that he was speaking to, he told them there's three ways you can do God's work. You can make the best plans you can and carry them out to the best of your ability. Second of all, you can carefully lay out plans and ask God to help and prosper you. Or you can ask God for his plan and offer yourself to him to carry them out. So, what was the plan? Well, in order to understand God's plan and to be willing to follow it, Joshua had to know that the battle was not his. And friend, if you and I, in the battle that we have daily in our lives as we try to live for God and we try to serve him and worship him, we have to understand the same thing. And what you and I know that Joshua also knew, even though this had not been written at that time, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And that's exactly what was going to have to happen. Joshua knew that he did not have the ability within himself to get through that wall or to get over that wall or to win this battle with the ways and the plan devised by the flesh. He had to have that blessed help. And then also, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians, talking about the warfare of a believer, he said, "Finally, my brethren," this is chapter 6, verse 10, "finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, Joshua knew that he did not have the might to fight the enemy and to win. He knew he couldn't get through that wall. He knew he couldn't defeat that enemy that was well supplied. I mean, they had everything they needed in there. And they felt safe inside that wall. And they weren't about to come out. So, Joshua knew that he had to have some help from the Lord. Now then, you and I are up against an insurmountable task. You and I are up against an enemy that we cannot defeat. Because if you read there in Ephesians, if you go on a little further, verse 11, Paul said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." For you see, our enemy is just like Joshua's in reality. It was Satan using folks against the people of God to stop them and to war against them and to stop their progress and to maybe defeat them. And you and I face that same battle. Satan would love to take those of us who try our best to live for God and stop us in our tracks and to hinder us and not allow us to do that that God wants us to do. And he said that we have to put on that whole armor of God if we're going to be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. He's a slippery character. He pulled a trick on Eve and doomed the whole human race. And he has deceived so many people down through the ages. And he is full of tricks. He's full of the wiles. And he must be overcome not by our might, not by the flesh, not by our wisdom, but as it said in verse 10, in the power of his might, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, just stand. Therefore, and he goes on and he talks about all of the pieces of the armor that you're supposed to have on. And one of them is, I find interesting, said, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace is, we're not out here trying to bring a peace treaty in the world. The gospel of peace is, friend, you can have peace from the sin guilt and the sin penalty that you're facing today. And we need, as children of God, it's our duty to get the message out there to these people that they should be saved and can be saved. If you're alive today and you're listening to this message, if the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and you realize you're lost, you can be saved. And I want to tell you that that's the way it is. That's the truth. That's the gospel that we are supposed to be putting out. And just like the plan was for us today, the plan was for Joshua to put it in God's hands and then it'll be okay. God is in control. And you and I can't defeat the enemy. We can't defeat Satan. We can't defeat even those that come against us in the flesh, in the power of Satan. On our own, we can't defeat any of them. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of his might, and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, we can be victorious. So there was, and what was the plan? Well, it would have been the most unthought of thing in the whole world, is because they weren't going to do a thing. The battle belonged to the Lord. And if you've ever heard the story, I think I've mentioned it, they were to march around that city 6 days in total silence. Had a specific way to line them up with the priests and the buglers and the soldiers and armed men and what have you. And they were to march around it one time each day for 6 days. And then on that seventh day, they were to march around it seven times. And on that seventh time, they were to blow those trumpets, and the whole congregation was to shout, and those walls were going to fall down. Now, again, as I've mentioned before, this probably seemed like a foolish plan. I don't know if Joshua told them this was what they were going to do, or if he just told them, let's go out there and march. But either way, he was just doing what God told him to do. And as you know, we'll see before we're finished with this that it worked out exactly as God intended for it to. And so, we see that proclamation. God is about to make a statement. Well, there's two ways that divine intervention is written all over this. First of all, there's the predominance of the number seven. And there was 7 days of marching, seven priests, seven trumpets. On the seventh day, on the seventh round, seven trumpet blasts. And on that seventh round, the walls fell down. I want you to notice that the number seven is God's number of perfection or completion. And when they had done what God said, when they had done that, they had fulfilled what God had told them to do. And I want you to notice that this number seven is very significant, and especially the predominance of it in this passage. I just read you seven things. If you take seven times seven, that's 49. That's almost like the number of completion that's complete, because it's the number seven, seven times, and it equals 49. If you go back into the Old Testament, you'll find that every 50 years, the end of that 49th year was considered the year of Jubilee. That was when the land reverted back to its first owner. That's when the debts were forgiven. That's when, if a man had sold himself into slavery to pay a debt, that's when he was freed. Seven is God's number of completeness. And when they completed God's plan, when they completed God's plan, the walls fell down. Can I say to you, neighbor, that Jesus was part of God's plan for you and me? And he completed everything according to the Father's plan. In eternity past, they knew that God knew that man was going to fall. He knew that man was going to sin, and that he was going to need a Savior. And so the plan was made. There had to be one that was worthy to pay the sin debt for man, to come down and to save mankind. And that was determined to be the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a plan set in motion, determined way back in eternity past. It was always been so. In the mind of God, it had already been done. And so we find then that it was the number of perfection. God's plan is perfect. And when Jesus had perfected that plan that God put into place, he could have not had to do that. He could have stopped his trial. He could have stopped his accusations. He could have stopped the crucifixion. He could have come down off that cross any time that he wanted to. But he didn't. He stayed. And he suffered as no man has ever suffered. Friend, he did that because he loved me and because he loves you. And because of that, God will work a miracle in our lives, in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls who will just trust him and come to him and believe upon his name and be saved by the marvelous grace of God. Jesus loves you, friend. Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he rose again on the third day. And today he's alive, and he's well, and he is standing with open arms, saying, "Come unto me, all ye who labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Then another place he said, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, I don't know where you've been, don't know what you've done, don't know what your situation is. I can tell you, you're no worse than I was, no worse than some other people that have been saved. And today I know on the authority of God's word that if you will humble your heart and ask God to save you, He will do that. I pray, Lord, that you'll save everyone under conviction.